Let me start with that sex work in India. In India, sex work is centuries old. It's as old as India itself. But we have always the various types of sex workers in India, but predominantly we had brothel-based sex workers. And then nowadays, in the recent past, we see that most of the sex workers we'll find in the big cities and urban areas. And I just had some calculation based on this Mumbai data that there are for 204 males, for every 204 males, there may be at least one sex worker in Mumbai. And then if we think in terms of sex work stigma and the law, then we find that sex work, although India is a land of Kama Sutra, still sex work, sex is a taboo subject in India. And then soliciting for sex and living off the income of sex work. Sex work is not per se illegal in India, but soliciting is illegal. So it is still governed by very much pre-Victorian archaic law. And in Indian context, sex workers are more often stigmatized, are often stigmatized and more stigmatized than the clients. And when we see there's HIV/AIDS and sex work in India, then we know that Indian HIV epidemic is predominantly fueled by this heterosexual transmission, particularly this commercial sexual transmission. And we know the sex workers form a large part of high-risk population, and clients work as a bridge population between this high-risk population and general population. In India now, there are at least six out of total 35 states and union territories. Six Indian states are highly prevalent with HIV-positive people, and Maharashtra is one such state, and Mumbai, the capital of Maharashtra, is often labeled as one of the epicenters of the epidemic. And in India at present, there are plenty of HIV/AIDS prevention programs running, mainly with working with female sex workers, MSM, and truckers and migrant men. So if you see the HIV/AIDS in India, then we see that it is not spread all across, it's rather, you see the southern part of India, here this area is highly affected, where we have AP, Andhra Pradesh, Maharashtra, and Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and this is mainly goaded by sex work driven. And we have another two states in northeast where it is mainly driven by IDU. And so it is clustered and it's in a concentrated in a particular areas of India, and we have very little data from this northern part of the country. And in India, at present, as per the latest National Family Health Survey 3 information data, that we have 2.1 to 3.1 million positive people living in the country. And in our study, we used both qualitative as well as quantitative techniques. And then in qualitative, we used this observation and transit work. And we had a series of interviews, organizational and local key informants interviews, and we have in-depth interviews with clients. And we use semi-structured interviews with, in the quantitative part, we had interviewed 300 male clients of female sex workers, and we tried to follow this time, location, cluster sampling, and then mostly the recruitments took place from brothels and bars. And I'll show you some pictures of typical brothel alleys in Mumbai. So you see this is Kamathipura, one of the largest brothel areas in Mumbai. And you see these males and then sex workers standing there. And you can see there are girls who are just have come out onto the street, and there's shops, and often these shops also sell condoms. And we have some bars and restaurants, often called beer bars or dance bars, where one can get sex workers also. And the study area is Mumbai, which is one of the most populous cities in the world. At present, we have 18 million population. As per 2001 census, it was 11 million. And it is a city of paradox in the sense that it has extreme opulence in one side, and then we have poverty, because more than 40% of the people living in slums, and it's a city of migrants because there is a huge influx of migrants from different other parts of the country. And then Mumbai is one of the costliest cities also, because it is also called this commercial or economic capital of business capital of India, where there are escalating real estate prices. And then we have this city is also known to outer world as the city of Bollywood, the Hindi film industry. And then we have a recent estimate that around 32,000 female sex workers we have in this city. And then we have different sex access points, brothels, public places, bars, lodges, and hotels, and homes. And you see that this city is one side, this is this posh area, this is the Taj hotels, and then the other side, the slums. So there is a contrast between this kind of two opulence and poverty. And recently there is some changing sexual scenario in Mumbai, because Kamathipura, as I showed you some pictures, that used to be the one of the largest red light areas in Mumbai for more than 50 years. Now we are witnessing that in the last 5 to 7 years, this clientele of Kamathipura is going down. And instead, there are brothels coming up into the suburbs of the city. And we have more sex joints in the form of bars, parlors, lodges, so more disguised operations. And then there is the use of cell phones and newspaper advertisements. And so we find more tailor-made packages as per the needs of the customers and as per their affordability. And then we have recently government of Maharashtra has banned these dance bars, where earlier, you know, women used to dance, and that was the watering hole of the city. And now we have a different form there. We have this orchestra instead of women are not dancing there, girls are not dancing there, but they're singing now. So, so we have such changes taking place. I'll show you some. So these are the beer bar. If you can see, it's written beer bar. It's popularly known as dance bar or beer bars. And then we have this kind of girls. Now this dance has been banned. So there is no more dances like this. Earlier, clients used to, you know, throw shower money with them while they used to dance. And now we have this kind of surrogated advertisement in almost all the dailies. And then in the garb of these advertisements, one can contact sex workers, because you see this is a massage, this thing, golden touch. The masseur's qualification is that she is beautiful, she is fluent in English, she is very good looking. So one can understand very well that the, you know, basic nature of these advertisements. And now in my sample, these are the men, 300 males interview we have taken, and then 65% from bars we have recruited, and that is 196, and 35% from brothels. And unfortunately, we tried to follow time, location, cluster sampling, but there is a huge amount of refusal rate. We almost had to, you know, knock 460 persons to get this completed 300 interviews. So there's a huge amount of refusal rate. So the main characteristics. So in our study sample, what we have found that the mean or average is age is 32.4 years, and its range varies from 18 to 61 years. And then we have got also predominantly Hindu clients, means it is as per our, you know, census thing, is because this country is predominantly having Hindu population, then followed by Muslim. And education-wise also, more than 60% had received more than 10 years of education. And if you see the countrywide average, then it's much better. And we have found that 70% were currently married. It's not that the single male migrants are going to sex workers. They're currently married, and 66% are living with the spouses, still they're visiting sex workers. And then we have got clientele from all walks of life, and in our study sample, we just have 6% who are just students. And you see the income-wise, more than three-fourths of them earn $120 a month. If you see the Mumbai average income is $136, but there is a huge, you know, standard deviation in the income, because Mumbai is also the place where the richest people in India stay. And but the national average, all India average, is just $40. So in terms of national average, their income is also good. They're quite well off. And we have seen that the 89%, although they are migrants, because they have come from different states in India, but 89% are staying in Mumbai for more than a year. So they can be termed as the usual resident of Mumbai. It's not just the recent migrants. and their sexual age or sexual the age of sexual debut is 18, as early as 18.9 years, and then nearly 62%, more than 60%, told the first time when they went to the sex worker, they went with their friends. And we have seen also that the cost of sex varies from brothels to bars, that means brothel-based to non-brothel-based. In brothel-based, the average cost per encounter is $5, whereas in bars and other places, non-brothel-based particularly, the average cost is $25. Although there is a huge variation even in bars and in brothels also, for less than $1 also one can have a sex worker ready for sex in brothels. So I've just taken the average. And there is a huge amount of casual sex, it's not a paid sex. Casual, 81% of these clients have reported that at least they had some casual sexual ties, relationship with other women. And anal sex is twice as much anal sex with paid partners as with wives or girlfriends. So it's often said that anal sex is almost non-existent, but it's not true. In our study, we have got almost at least 4% of the respondents told that they had anal sex. And alcohol intake, 86% reported when they went for paid sex, they also consumed alcohol. And we have just done the preliminary analysis. We have not done very exhaustive analysis now. And the preliminary primary analysis shows that this knowledge about HIV/AIDS is quite good, because all of them have heard of AIDS. Although only 86% knew that AIDS was transmitted through heterosexual intercourse, among others. And 81% stated using condoms during sex could really prevent HIV. 90% believed that HIV was concentrated among sex workers. And mass media, particularly television, was the most common source of knowledge. And we also had some questions about STI, and then we found that 75%, three-fourths of them told that STIs were curable, and 91%, 20% actually had experienced some symptom of STI when the symptoms were prompted, and 91% sought treatment, but many of them, or at least 25% of them, really went for self-medication, or they just went to the pharmacist instead of going to the doctor and asked for the drugs. And in terms of condom use, we see the condom use with female sex workers was very high, 91.6%. But it comes down when we go to bar girls and other girls, means casual sex, it is just 43.3%. With girlfriend and wife, it is the lowest, 9% and 5% respectively. And then we didn't expect that there are some, they have sex with male partners or hijras. I don't know how many of you know hijras are like trans. Genders, and they dress up like women, they're basically males. Some of them are castrated, some of them are not. So they had sex with hijras also. In this, out of these 352 clients, expressed that they had sex with male partners or hijras. And we have also asked about some questions about the condom, more questions on condom use, and 34% said that their partners insisted them to use condom. So every time we go, whenever we have HIV/AIDS intervention program with sex workers, we try to, you know, get some feedback from them whether they are every time using condoms with their clients or not. So these data gives us some the other side of the story. What clients say, whether the sex workers really insist them to use condoms. Then we find here that at least 34% are saying that their partners, that means sex workers, maybe their wife, sex workers, these partners includes their wives and other partners also. The majority of them sex workers, when paid sex, they are insisting to use condom. Means our intervention program with sex workers is to some extent quite effective. And 35% reveal that they learn about condom use from sex workers. It's really good to learn that clients are saying that they learned condom use from sex workers. And 28% reported carrying condom while going in for sex. 79, we also had some question on condom breakage. In India, often we get to know that condoms get broken and condom breakage is high. So we tried to get that response, and we found that 17% experienced that in the last 5 encounters, they had at least one condom breakage. And we also had some question. We try to understand their risk perception, because we have clients from brothels, from bars, and then we asked them that, what do you think then, whether having sex with a girl from brothels or from bars or from other venues, which one is more risky? Then you see that 71.3% of those clients believe that having sex with the brothel, the sex worker, is quite risky, whereas having sex with home-based sex workers is not that risky, because 3.3% of clients told that it's risky to have sex with home-based sex workers. So all of them actually believe that brothels means there is a huge chance of getting the infection. So in conclusion, we are trying to derive something because this is a primary analysis only, and we have yet to analyze our in-depth interviews. So demand for perceived safer sex seems to be driving women out of the brothels. Means in the overall psyche of clients, we are finding that brothels means there is chance of AIDS. So there is fear of AIDS in brothels. That's how the clients are withdrawing themselves. We are seeing that clientele is coming down in big brothels like Kamathipura, and they are going to some non-brothel based settings like bars, homes. So likewise, the supply side, the women are also trying to see there are less number of clients in brothels, so they are trying to work in some other venues like bars and other places. And we have also seen that in bars and non-brothel based settings, the cost of having sex is more. And these men are really paying high amount to have sex in bars or in homes or in other places. So it seems the men are really ready to pay more money for having sex in non-brothel-based settings. And in terms of condom use, we have seen that same partner sex seems to have perceived as safe, because we have found that at least 52 of them, 17.3% of them, had had sex with these male partners, and the condom use was not very high. We are just assuming perhaps that they believe that they having sex with another male may not be that risky. And these men seem to have a higher potential, because they are not only just bringing the infection, may bring potentiality of having that potentiality to bring the infection from high risk sex workers to general population, but also they are linking up the network of MSM and heterosexual. So same-sex network and heterosexual network is linked up because they are having sex with males also, same-sex. So they have the higher potentiality to fail this epidemic. So in terms of recommendations, we have to do some intervention, because primarily most of the interventions now focusing on brothels and streets, but the sex work is going underground. There are places like parlors and bars. Those are not really traditional sex access points. So if we want to really, we have to widen it to catch this vulnerable population even in those sex access points, in those venues. And condom messages in India need to focus on types of sexual encounters, not only just type of sexual partners, because we have always problem with low condom use of the regular partners, but we see that we have anal sex, we have different kinds of sex. And HIVS program planning and evaluation should include client perspectives and realities. We always have more programs with FSWs, but we include little about these clients' perspectives. It is better to understand the other side of the story from clients also. And we didn't expect that there will be that amount of same partner sex. So further studies are needed to look at this perception of same partner sex of these clients. Thank you.